Well, what do you do after the election? Especially all of those who thought that Obama would lose. And I thought he would lose. And my wife kept telling me, no, he's not going to lose. So I had true confession. You were right. Yes, you were right. Now what do you do? Because we have quite a few things here that we can look at. And it's evident if you look at it this way. For the first time, now, here is what is called the fulcrum, like a T. The center point is the tipping point when, like on a teeter-totter, it is balanced. So we go back to the time right after World War II, and probably even before that, it was tipped, weighted down, and everything was run by people who were either professing Christians or believed in God or were actually practicing Christians themselves. Gradually through the years, over time, and keep in mind that the liberal progressives started this with Woodrow Wilson, and they have been 100 years at it. And they've gradually gotten rid of God. You go through all the things that led up to it. They got rid of God in the schools. They got rid of God in the government. They got rid of God in private lives. The education also had a very similar tilt as this. It was more and more social. It was less and less teaching people how to think, how to figure things, how to work. And they were given more and more pleasure and more benefits. So the last time that it really tilted toward what you would say those who hold Christian values was when George Bush was elected. When Obama was elected, it came just a little above being balanced. And since that time, it is going down. And that's evident by the results of the election. Now, Jim just gave me a CD I need to listen to, where it says, it covers where we are in America today, that we have crossed the line from a moral majority to a nation of immoral majority, made up of sinful, wicked, unrepentant people who want the sins of Babylon, Sodom, and Gomorrah. And they've elected a president who will give it to them. Now, I have a report here that is very interesting. Coinciding with that, I have several reports, but here's one. Christianity on decline. Eastern religions growing. Okay, see what else it has to say here with this one. All right, I'll just give you the headline on this one. America's most biblically hostile president. And then it lists 4 pages. Acts of hostility toward people of biblical faith. Acts of hostility from the Obama-led military toward people of biblical faith. Acts of hostility toward biblical values, acts of preferentialism for Islam, all put that together. Now this tells us that we are looking for some dark days ahead. And just like there's a storm, as we can see what happened back east, if you were not prepared, and if you just assume things like this one man did, he assumed that since he sat out Hurricane Irene, that he could sit out this one. So he and his 13-year-old daughter stayed home, didn't evacuate, lost their lives. Now, 2 weeks after the electricity is out, there are still 500,000 people who do not have electricity. And it shows you how vulnerable we are. No electricity, nothing works. And so that really has brought some things out that were very important for us to know and understand. Now, what we are dealing with, not just primarily a man, not just primarily a movement of people, a political party, we're talking about 50% plus, probably 55%. Obama won the election by 50%, and Romney lost it with 49.1%. And as I mentioned in my last sermon, that of all the presidential candidates we've had here recently, Romney, in the letter of the law, despite his Mormonism, is more righteous than any of the candidates we have had. So it shows you that people now on entitlements, now with their freebies, now bought off with their food stamps, bought off with their student loans, bought off with immoral sex, endorsement of same-sex marriage, and then the two states that they passed legalization of marijuana, Washington and Colorado, and two states, Maine and what was the other one? Same-sex marriage. Well, there was another state besides Maine that voted to have same-sex marriage. What we're dealing with are forces of evil that are hands of correction from God, because we as a nation want God our way. And the Christianity today, now, let me just tell you a little something. Last Sunday, Dolores and I went down to the Cozy Cup to have breakfast because we went over to shop. And there was this Harvest Life Church right there. And so since we had to wait, I heard the sound, the door was open, and I stepped in to look. And there were about a half a dozen people in there with about 50 or 60 chairs, and some young guy up there beating the drums and singing and howling, and a few people out there doing their thing. And I thought, this is the state of Christianity? No wonder people want to leave. I did. I turned right around and left. I didn't want to stay. So what we are going to see is we're going to see evil begin to be accepted more and more. Now, what did Jesus say about that in Matthew 24? Now, we're not going to turn there. Let's just test your memory. What did Jesus say? Because lawlessness shall be multiplied, the love of many shall grow cold. And so you can see this reaction with the people in the storm. Now, there are a lot who have been doing good back there. But here, look at the reaction after 2 weeks. We're spoiled. We're soft. We have every convenience. So if they're taken away, what are we going to do? So God is using those as a hand of correction. Let's come to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Let's look at a scripture here, because this tells us something very important about what we are dealing with. We are not just dealing with evil people. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But we have to get to the primary cause behind it. Now, the reason is, there is a spiritual power of evil. We all know Satan, the devil. Now, where does he work? Well, like anything else, if you get those who are the teachers, if you get those who are the leaders, and if you subvert them, what happens? Everybody under them becomes gradually subverted in degree. Some will resist, some will not. So he says here, and this is what we're going to have to do. Okay, excuse me. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now we're going to see how we need to be strong in the Lord today. And in the might of his strength, because we're going to have to trust and rely on God more and more and more, even for the things that we need daily. Now notice, verse 11, we have something we need to do, and this is accomplished by the word of God. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, the extreme case of this was Lot. Remember how God had to rescue him? And that was really a difficult choice, too. But Peter wrote that Lot was frustrated and upset with the behavior of those in Sodom. Now, what are we going to do as the whole nation becomes more like that? What are we going to do if they legalize pot? And remember, there was one candidate for president, his last name is Johnson, who started as a Republican but ran on the Libertarian one. And he said, we ought to legalize drugs. So did Ron Paul. Legalize drugs. Can you imagine what the society would be like with legalized drugs? You want to drive on a freeway? You want to walk down the sidewalk? Wiles of the devil. He subverts. See? Here are two test cases now, Colorado and state of Washington, two test cases, because now the state law which says you can possess 1 ounce or more of marijuana. Now, a little known secret. They got all their funds to do all the soliciting and signing petitions and everything from Mr. George Soros. He has done that before in other states. Now, two states. So what's going to have to happen? It's going to come before the Supreme Court. See? Now, what happens when everybody does it? Is the law against it of any value? No. So they will say, well, too many people are smoking anyway. So what we need to do, since we have all of these financial problems, we need to legalize it and tax it. See? Another evil. And of course, marijuana is gateway to stronger drugs. Now, the whole society, you know, look at what happened when some of these people were told, you may lose your government benefits. You may have to go to work. They didn't like that. And then, of course, like this one woman said, joyfully as she waved a cell phone in her hand, I got a free phone from Obama. I'm voting for Obama. And like Dolores and I saw a woman up in, interviewed on TV up in New Hampshire. And the reporter was saying, who'd you vote for? Who'd you vote for? And she said, I voted for Obama. Now, she must have been in her mid-60s, a little older. And so the reporter said, well, why did you vote for him? I like him. See, people have been reduced to emotions and feelings rather than truth, rather than what is right. Now, notice verse 12, because we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the world rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual power of wickedness in high places, in the governments. And once you capture the government, it filters down to all the people except those who don't want to go along with it. And then you are labeled as a dissident. Then you are labeled as an enemy of the state. May very well happen. How long will it take? We do not know. We do not know. All right. Let's come back here to the book of Psalms. Oh, Proverbs 29. then we will get to the Psalms. Proverbs 29, because here it shows the simple contrast that the people going to the polls had no idea what they were doing. They voted because of feelings. They voted because they thought it was right. And they didn't want to be told what they needed to do. See, because we have what? Remember, Romney said, well, 40% of the people won't vote for me because they're all on government dole. Oh, they made a big deal of it. How many voted against him? 50%. Who did that include? The 47%. See? All right. Now, I want you to look at the contrast. Verse 2, Proverbs 29. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice because it comes down to the people. When the wicked rule, the people mourn. That's about where we are right now, isn't it? Yes. All right, verse 4. The king establishes the land by justice, but he who takes bribes tears it down. Remember all the billions of government grants? Those were really bribes to friends of Obama. Tears it down. Has it been tearing us down? Has it been putting us in debt? Yes, indeed. All right. Verse 12. Here's one. Think of this. You want to know why Washington, D.C., is so messed up, especially the people who are in power. Now, I will have to say there are some in the Republican Party who want to do what is right, but they are so outnumbered that I don't think they can do a thing to budge anything, to make anything right. Verse 12. If a ruler hearkens to lies, all his servants are wicked. Wonder who's advising the presidente. Okay? Verse 16. When the wicked are multiplied, lawless, wicked, transgression increases. We have increase in crime. We have more wicked. Are more wicked in control? Yes, indeed. But the righteous shall see their fall. However, it may not happen in our lifetime. And if we understand the prophecies, we're looking at a time where the fulcrum is going to go down, 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 down. Okay? Come back up here to verse 14. A king who faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever. All right. Now, let's come back here to Proverbs, book of Proverbs. With that in mind, let's come to, not Proverbs, Psalm, let's come to Psalm 12. Psalm 12. And we're going to see this. Now, as we go through some of these scriptures and things, we're going to see some things we need to watch for and be aware of, and we need to also understand how we need to behave ourselves, how we need to act toward God, especially. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. I like this one. Help, O Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the children of men. What did we read? Christian values are going down. They speak falsehood, each one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart they speak. Sound like the perfect politician to win? Yes, indeed. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things who have said, with our tongue we shall prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Well, they're also going to have some very calamitous times come. Because corruption is going to also reap more corruption, which is going to cause more problems. at the top, and it filters all the way down into the population. Come down here to verse 8. The wicked walk on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. Now, vileness is what? Vileness is same-sex marriage, legalizing drugs, being all on the take. Now, come here to Isaiah. Isaiah, let's look at some more about liberals. Isaiah 32. Now, this is interesting here. It actually talks about the beginning part of this chapter about when Christ will rule. But notice beginning in verse 5. The vile one shall no more be called liberal, nor the miser said to be bountiful. For the vile speak folly, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, to speak error against the Lord, to make the soul of the hungry empty, and to take away the drink of the thirsty. And isn't that what has happened in every liberal government program to help people? It soon ends up in misery. Look at all the tenement housing that they built beginning in the 60s. Nothing but crime-ridden places. Many of them are already torn down. Now notice verse 7. Also, the weapons of the vile are evil. He thinks of evil ways to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaks right. Even when a lowly citizen who knows better can say to one of these elite, "You're wrong." And here's why. But the liberal thinks liberal things, or vile things. And by liberal things, he shall stand. Not going to change his mind. Nothing is going to change. Now let's come to the book of Psalms. So that helps us to understand the situation, what we're going to be looking at here. So, and as Dolores has admonished me, and I keep telling myself every day, be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Watch your tongue, Fred. So I need to heed that advice. See, lots of times Dolores thinks she doesn't make an impression upon me, but she does, because she gives very, very good advice. Sometimes not so good, and she's reluctant to admit those, just like I'm reluctant to admit mine. Okay. All right. Let's come to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Now, up north I went through every verse of Psalm 37, but I'm not going to do that here. But I want you to go through it and study it again after you get home. Let's begin right here in verse 1. Here's the first thing we need to do to keep our balance and to keep sound-mindedness. Otherwise, we're going to run off and be angry. We are just going to look at everything and just be condemning everything, even in spite of the fact that it probably needs to be condemned. No one will hear you. Verse 1. Do not fret yourself because of evildoers. Don't get frustrated. Don't get upset. If you do, get it all out of your system before you leave the house. Get it all out of your system before you go to bed. Don't lie there, wake at night, and say, "How did he do this?" You know? And do not be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So there are two things you need to do here. Trust in God, he will help you, and do good. I want you to go through and read all the way through, because verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. Verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord and trust in him also. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and do not fret yourself because of him who prospers in his way. Verse 8, cease from anger. All right, read all the rest of it. And there's the promise in there five times that the righteous will inherit the earth. So keep in mind what God has promised to give us. We're the ones who are going to undo all of the wickedness that's taking place in all the governments around the world. See? So remember that. Every time something comes up, you can say to yourself, thank you, Lord, we will replace them. Christ is going to rule the world. Keep that in mind. You've got to always have that in the forefront of your mind so you're not going to be discouraged. You're not going to be taken down. Because it's easy to do. I mean, you go on the news and watch the news and listen to the news, and there's murder, rape, disaster, lying, cheating, stealing, adultery. Here, one of the famous generals of the U.S. Army today had to admit that he had an affair. That's why, remember the sermon I gave? It's not how you start, it's how you finish. But also, from the way you start to how you finish determines on how you do between the start and the finish. All right, go over here, just cross the column, Psalm 36. The wicked utters transgression in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. He flatters himself in his own eyes until his iniquity is found to be hateful. I am the greatest. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He has stopped acting wise and doing good. Now, those kind of people, you can't vote them out, and that's the whole lesson. You can't change them because they will not change their minds. See, because now we're at a point, the only thing that's going to change anything is repentance. I thought it was interesting. Governor Christie, talking about all the damage back there in New Jersey, said, well, the only thing we need are frogs and lice. Shows he understood some biblical things. And my thought was, be careful what you ask for. Okay. All right. Now, come here to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, we're going to go through it because this gives us how to keep our relationship with God right and our frame of mind right. See, you can't worship God and please God if you have anger in your heart all the time because of what political people do. Maybe they've been put there as punishment for the nation. Make sure you're right with God. All right, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall always be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Now that's the faith and trust we need to have. There's a promise. You have difficulty believing this? Take your Bible, open it up, get down on your knees, read this, and say, oh Lord God, you have promised. Help me. Intervene for me. Change things for me. Help me to see it the way you want me to see it. Okay? They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard and saved him out of all his troubles. Whatever they are, God will work it out. Now, some of the things that come along really appear to be, you know, not what you suppose that God may think you need. Nevertheless, you cry out to God, and he will save you. Now, here's another thing, especially in the days we're living in. Remember the sermons that Michael Heiss gave concerning angels? All right, read this one here. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. So we need deliverance from this society and the effects of it, and to keep the enemy far away from us, blinded toward us as much as possible. Let them have bigger goals to seek than us. Now here's a couple more verses. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Okay. Now let's just do a little sidebar here. The New Testament says, feed the flock. How are you to feed the flock? To feed the flock with the word of God. What does that feed? It feeds your mind, it feeds your spirit. And then you can have spiritual strength. That's what it means. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Now, there are times you need to do things. There are times you need to just say, no, I'm going to leave it in God's hands. Let him handle it. Oh, fear the Lord, all you saints, for there is nothing lacking to those who fear him. Now, maybe we won't get everything that we want, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're lacking. All right, come down here to next verse. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Now, listen, what I want you to do in studying these Psalms, because this hit me when I was reading them. How many of these things tell us what to do? Let's look at it here. Verse 1, bless him, praise him, boast in him, hear and be glad, magnify the Lord. I sought the Lord, he answered, he delivered. They looked to him, this poor man cried. God saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, fear the Lord. Hearken to me. See, all of those are positive things that when you just read through the Psalms, you miss the impact of every one of these phrases, which really tie into the things in the New Testament as to how we need to live and behave. All right, let's continue. Verse 11. Come, hearken to me, you children, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man that desires life and loves many days that he may say good, see good? Okay, that's what we want. We want the resurrection, right? Yes. All right, the next one. Here it is. Dolores' advice. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Okay? There it is right there. Now, sometimes that's really, 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 really hard for me. Okay? Now, notice why. Think on this. Does God care for you? Does God love you? Has he called you? Has he given you his Holy Spirit? Yes. Notice verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Because, see, when we pray, it goes directly to God the Father in heaven above. But notice this. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Their day will come, just like we discussed with King Nebuchadnezzar. After he was warned, about a year later, he said, oh, look at all of this that I have made. Bam. God struck him down. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. Now notice verse 17. Notice how this is. Do this. This happens in God helping you. Do this. God will cut off the evil ones. Do this. God will hear an answer. All right? Notice this. Verse 17. The righteous cries and God hears them and delivers them out of all their troubles. All of them. So we can trust God for. Now, this also means along the way, what do we need to do? We need to make as many right decisions as we can. We need to do things in a proper way as much as we can. All right? Verse 18. Here's the attitude and here's how it should be before God. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are of a contrite spirit. That's what it needs to be, not lifted up. I know many times, this is why Dolores tells me, Fred, just talk. Just talk. And she would remind me, you know, I spent a lot of years listening to a lot of vain, arrogant preachers. So just talk. Okay, okay. Yes, 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 yes. And I have that ingrained in my brain right up here. And every time I leave to go someplace, Dolores says, just talk, just talk. And as I drive down the road, it's echoing, just talk, just talk, just talk. See, she's helping program my mind. Okay. Verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. See, in the second part of this sermon, we're going to concentrate on the word deliver, because God is the only one who can deliver us. He keeps all our bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them who take refuge in him shall be condemned. Now that's really something, isn't it? So also what I want you to do in studying through the Psalms and reading through them, I want you to use these in your prayer. Claim these promises. God says that his eye is on you. Do the things that please God. Okay? Now, let's go ahead and take a little break, and we'll come back.